Do you know what pink noise is? I saw something on somebody that was talking about doing podcast stuff, and I haven't looked into it yet. But so they were talking.
I didn't know we were recording already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Pink noise.
Yeah, there was something. Yeah, it looked like it was like background noise that they were adding in that helps with like, reducing like edits and just like back, not ambience, but you know, like sometimes your podcast sounds like hollow.
Mm-hmm.
Even if
like there's crickets or whatever.
Yeah, even if like the room is fine, it's not like an echo or anything. It just kind of sounds like
flat.
Yeah, and it looked to be one of the things I guess that helps with that, but I didn't actually look into it. I just bookmarked it for later.
Hmm.
They're like, yeah, and I have 8 things running in the background that you'll never know about, but like that's what makes like it not sound like you've actually done any editing at all. Like it just sounds like magic. It's like, oh, I should look into that.
That's weird.
That was like a month ago. I'll get to it one day. Welcome.
If you want, I could have my faucet drip in the background or something.
I feel like that would be bad. That would probably make it worse, because then you could tell the rhythm's off after each edit.
Right.
That would make it worse. We're looking for better, not worse. Mm. Maybe we'll do that Backwards Day.
I could just drip like a faucet during the edit.
I have a feeling you already do that.
Why buy a comic that might cost more than a dime? Come meet the brothers who are here to waste your time.
Welcome back to the Dime Comic Bros Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Spencer, joined by Jacob.
Hello.
Garbians. We return to the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, the Guardians return.
Yes, but not the return of the Guardians.
It is.
The Rise of the Guardians, although that is a good movie.
It is the second half of the Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning omnibus. We read the first 20 issues last month, we read the last 5 issues of the Guardians run this month, and then a bunch of Thanos stuff happens.
Yeah, there's the Thanos Imperative crossover, and then there was the B stories from, fuck me.
You wouldn't put the glass of water on your...
Well, you don't want me to just, you know...
No, not on the expensive book or computer. Thanks.
I'll lap it up.
Only if I put the laptop on my lap.
Annihilators, lap there we up. Go. Issues 20 through 25, the Thanos Imperative, which is a 6-issue miniseries, as well as a one-shot on either end, and then there's 2 Annihilators series, which is like a subgroup of the Guardians. It's all the like big boys, which I now realize are the characters that are on the cover for the Donny Cates book. That makes a lot more sense now. Now that I'm kidding. Backstory.
So maybe we should have read these in order instead of backwards.
Well, we're trying, man.
Mm-hmm.
But there were 2 runs of Annihilators, and then there were A stories with all the heavy hitters, and then B stories with Rocket and Groot, and this has the Rocket and Groot stuff. I don't know why they're separated like that. I feel like that's a little strange. Yep. But so previously, I had been extremely surprised by how much I was enjoying this. Like... by a big margin. I was not expecting it to be so cohesive, especially because this is like up to such a big task of reinventing a team and all that fun stuff. And I think the end kind of solidified it. I was very impressed with how coherent reading the omnibus was, despite the fact that only the first like 2/3 are the same run.
I just like this run in general. It pays so much attention to the characters. And it tells, like you said, it tells a cohesive story, but it has a lot of fun while it does it. The big explosions and everything that happen feel impactful, and it's a lot of action, and it's fun, and it's funny. I really like this book.
Yes.
It looks really good.
That was my note, particularly on Thanos.
To a point, the artists changed... in the last couple of issues of the Guardians run, and it makes it feel a little bit more cartoony as opposed to, like, I don't know how to describe it, just really good looking.
Yeah, I think I'm assuming it was probably like a behind the scenes reason for why they changed artists.
It was still
artists.
Acceptable. It just
those issues were the ones that also included a lot difference. More of like the original quote unquote old, but actually from the future Guardians. So there might have been some half justified connection there.
Yes,
I didn't love that art as much, but I noticed that the Thanos Imperative series art looks fucking amazing. Yep. Like above everything else. Like, the first few issues of this run were really, really, really good looking, but, like, I want to go pick up Thanos Imperative just as a book, because that was a really, really enjoyable read. I find it weird to end this run with a crossover event, because it, I don't know, I just feel like that's not the best idea.
Like, I'm kind of wondering if it got axed, and they were like, well, you have this event coming up, you could tie it in.
Maybe, but I feel like almost the entire event is just about the Guardian stuff, yeah. So it's very odd. I remember when this was happening. Like, I remember seeing some advertisements for it and whatever. It seemed to be pretty big at the time, and it was really, really good and very well done. I don't know. It was a very coherent and, like, engaging portion of the run as well. Typically, the crossover big finales with the big bad guy are, like, kind of boring and lame, and they're really hard to read because they bounce between so many different runs or different artists and different writers. This one was just 6 issues with an opener and a closer done by the same team, and it was, like, a really, really good read.
This series is really all I know. Moondragon and Martyr from. And it's hard to form an opinion about them, because literally through the whole run, it's like one of the two out of the couple is dead, and the living one is
sad.
Sorry about what happened and wishes their significant other was here with them. And it's like, okay, but what do they look like together though? Yeah. And they swap places like 2 or 3 times. Like,
yeah, multiple
they each
times.
Die. And the other one comes back to life when the other dies.
It's certainly something. It definitely was the most tolerable here, as it has been. It was definitely more engaging than it is in later runs, but it still isn't quite enough, like, pizzazz on it for
me. It's just frustrating, because I want to know what
they
look like together.
I want them to go on, like, 3 dates when they're not dead or in a coma or, like, being the Joker.
Like, why do they actually like each other? I don't know, because one's always dead.
Because they have boobies. I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, we both are.
Exactly. They have boobies.
I can't blame them for that.
Yeah, no. I was also kind of impressed by the amount, the lack of loose threads by the time the whole book was over. Like, there's a bit of stuff that leads into the Annihilators, clearly, which, from what I could tell by Wikipediaing the other half of that, those runs, they don't really go anywhere. They just kind of dick around and blow shit up. And, like, almost all the characters end up in a pretty different place than where they started. The Guardians team seems to be, like, actually over and kaput for a little while, which is good. It doesn't... I was just kind of impressed. Like, it felt like the Annihilators was an actual epilogue, not sequel bait for the next run. Because there wasn't another run for a couple more years. Like, they didn't have any plans.
This series did a really good job of the, oh no, we're on a different timeline thing, and it doesn't feel like a waste of time. Like, you know it's going to get reset somehow, but it takes its time and it has a lot of fun along the way. And you're like, I kind of don't want them to reset, because this has been fun.
Yeah.
I was way behind in life all this week. So I read the end of the Guardians run. I didn't read any of the Thanos Imperative stuff this time around. So, did they wrap up the Church of Truth? Did I miss what happened to the Church of Truth? Because Magus is in charge of it, and it's going strong by the end of the Guardians, if I remember right. Maybe I missed a page.
This is what happens when I read it 2 weeks ago.
I know. I just really love the Universal Church of Truth as a concept, and this book is the reason why every Guardians movie I was like, yeah, 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 finally, yeah! Because it's just... it's so pointed against religion in general. It's not like calling out a certain sect of religion. It's just like... structured religion bad, maybe. Or, like, here's some kind of criticisms about it and how it could be a villain without saying I don't know. It makes a villain without saying a whole lot. It doesn't step on many toes.
Yeah. They kind of wrap that up at the end of the run.
All right, that's
it's relevant in the Thanos Imperative because there's so many characters that have bad versions, and this guy's actually this guy's great-grandfather's cousin's roommate shit, but no. That was actually the only part of the run I was a little disappointed in, was, Negus is like, Megus, whatever the fuck, however the fuck you say his name.
It's either Magus or Magus. Or...
Magussy.
Mm-hmm.
Evil Adam Warlock.
Yes.
Is, like, fine. But it seemed that it definitely, I mentioned it last time, and it definitely, as it gets wrapped up in the second half, it just kind of happens.
Yeah.
And that it was resolved in, like, five-ish issues, and it seemed like that was planning to be something bigger. A lot of other things get wrapped up in the Thanos Imperative. Like, the bigger ongoing question of, like, who the fuck is in the cocoon is all of that shit is in Thanos Imperative, which is what makes it feel like the end of the run. Like, if there weren't page dividers that told me what issue was which, I would have just assumed it was the end of the run, not, like, a separate event book.
While her lover is dead, Moondragon sucks up into her some freaking parasite thing that's killing everybody. It was the only way to save everybody. And within one page, after quite a bit happens, within one page, she pops it out and they yeet it into space. And that was kind of weird. It looked venomy. And I was wondering if it was like King in Black Inklings, maybe?
I have no idea.
Back in 2010?
I have no idea.
It definitely looked venomy, though.
I mean, that whole section with her being parasite pregnant was extremely uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like, very uncomfortable.
Yep.
Glad I can't do that. Or can I?
So many options. I'm not going to choose one.
Yeah. The only including half of the Annihilators at the end felt really weird, because there's two four-issue miniseries.
I didn't know it was only half of each.
Yeah, so there's the A stories, and then there's the backup issues. The backup stuff is Groot and Rocket, and they're fine, but they feel kind of anticlimactic as an epilogue. Like, if you're going to... the end of Thanos Imperative is like, hey, we should put all the big guys on one team. And then they're like, yeah, Lamau. And then they don't... That's in a different book. Hmm. And then they only include the half of the Annihilators that isn't that book.
Gotcha.
Which is really weird. Like, it's nice to have a little palate cleanser at the end where Rocket and Groot go on some goofy adventures. They were all fine. There wasn't anything really there to bite into.
I remember being upset about that when I read it the first time, because it was like, you have this beautiful run that just looks great. Like, this whole book. And then that book looked like it was made in crayon. It was like, this feels cheap.
It was weird. And I don't think that any of the Annihilators was written by Abnett and Lanning. I might be wrong. So it's weird to include any of it. Either include all of it or don't include it. I feel like it would have been fine to just end with the run and then the Thanos Imperative stuff, and then you're done. Like, that would have been fine with me. Or just include all of it. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah, it's not made by him.
The eternal question of, like, how to put together an omnibus, because every omnibus does it differently. So that's just kind of weird. Like, it was nice, like, the first four issues, but only half of those four issues with Groot and Venom. Holy shit.
That'd be cool.
There's a comic about that right now. With Rocket and Groot was fine. It was Rocket doing space stuff.
Rockety but, things.
Yeah, exactly. And then the second one was a little bit less exciting. It was very, it was trying to be really meta, and was like, but what if this was like a movie or something? And I just didn't follow very well. It was weird. It just kind of felt like a thud. It wasn't bad. It just, like, even if they had included the full issues of those eight total issues, that would have felt like a proper epilogue, because then you see the two different directions that the team breaks off into versus just half of it. Especially because they weren't, like, this book was printed before they had their big surge in popularity after this run and then the movie. So, like, it's not like they were the only characters that would have ever gotten, like, spinoff titles. Almost all of this Guardians team came from other books that were solo titles before they became the Guardians. So, it's just kind of weird.
Had a thought, and then you went off for a minute, and now it's gone.
I wonder if Scotty Young has ever done, like, an entire Rocket Raccoon book. I feel like that would be fun. I know he does a lot of covers, But I don't know if he's done, like, just an actual run. I feel like that'd be goofy as fuck.
I don't know. Anything else?
That's about it. This was... I think out of the runs we've read so far, this is probably the top.
Interesting.
I think they're all within such a margin of each other, which is annoying. But like,
I'd say this book is easily worth the cover price.
Oh, for sure. I'm gonna inevitably buy this.
Such an enjoyable book.
Yeah, I'd say.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. I really appreciate in this omnibus that they just give me basically a Star Wars crawl of like, here's what you missed in other runs.
Yes.
Like, sometimes it can get annoying because it's like 3 pages because they're covering 4 freaking Marvel events that cross everything, and that's dumb and gay. But this one, it's like, crazy shit happened in another section of space, but here's what you need to know.
Yeah, it's like, well, this person's in charge of this shit now, and it's enough to get you rolling where, like, when you open when you go to the next panel, it doesn't feel like, when did this happen? What the fuck's going on? Like, they introduce in the Thanos Imperative, like, the Inhumans are extremely relevant. It's like, where the fuck did this come from? But it gives you just enough information, and then they justify it in the run as, like, these are the connections that this people group had to this people group and whatever. Like, it doesn't feel like it comes out of nowhere.
And it also doesn't feel like it spoils stuff. Like, I could track down these runs if I wanted to and read them and then not be spoiled. I've seen a couple of times where it's like, at the end of this Marvel event, this guy was the bad guy and he destroyed this world or something. It's like, well...
Yeah, I was gonna read that.
No, I don't want to read that anymore.
Right. No, for sure. I definitely think that was one of the...
Very helpful.
Like, in terms of formatting and, like, the general presentation of the omnibus, it's like 4 out of 5 points. Like, I wish that the end bit was put together a bit differently, but, like, other than that, it has actual page counts, it has issue markers, it has recaps, and it has, like, just a big page in the front that tells you who did what.
Yep.
Instead of it being, like, just kind of a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
I find it really weird. Like, this, it is such an infinite question of, like, how would you put together one of these books? Because every single time I open one, they do it differently, and most of them are fine, and some of them are unbearably bad.
Most of the time when it's following a certain writer, it's a hodgepodge, and it's miserable. So yeah. I really like that they threw in extra stuff in this to make it an enjoyable read that you can read cover to cover.
Yes, I agree. What else have you read cover to cover?
I read Hellboy in Love.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
I was wondering if you were going to end up getting to that. I saw it on the shelf this week in hardcover, and I went away for the paper bang because I'm cringe.
This story is written by Mike Mignola and Christopher Golden, and it is arted by Matthew Smith. Colors by Dave Stewart, of course.
It's also an adaptation of a book, which is weird.
I did not know this.
Yeah, this is like canonizing fan fiction. Sort of. Super weird.
This hardcover has 3 chapters. And I was kind of confused until I found out that the first 2 chapters were split up into like 6 issues or something each. And then the last chapter is like a single issue. Because I was reading the first 2 chapters and I was like, this is crazy long. Like, and it's a complete story, and it's cohesive, and it's very, very fun. It's just 2 different occasions where Hellboy's hanging out with his waifu. It starts with them meeting, and it finishes off with them doing a heist and loving each other, I guess.
Fist of Doom. That's not the only reason it's red.
And I'm coming on these nuts.
Yeah, basically that.
There's a lot of ideas in here that are fun, but it felt like it should have been fleshed out more. Like, there were a group of goblins that definitely each had their own personalities. And they were there just running away from Hellboy stealing the thing. And then they just kind of go poof. And then there's nothing more. Or like, there's a mean crow lady that haunts Hellboy for a minute and then goes poof. And they say in the back, in the extra stuff, that they plan on bringing her back in something else somewhere. Who knows? Which is great, but it doesn't help me now.
Right.
There was a weird ghost lady in Chapter 2 that I wanted more of. It just... There's so many cool ideas.
I'm wondering if the novel version is more fleshed out.
I hope so.
I don't know if the book itself is canon or if this is canonizing parts of the book, is what it sounded like when it was announced, but I don't know. I'm not familiar with either one yet.
Chapter 2 or the second run or whatever, Hellboy and his waifu go on like an indie adventure. And that was fun. That's where they meet the ghost lady. Chapter 3, like I said, was really short and just felt like, hey, remember when we did Hellboy in Love? They're still in love. Cool. Lots of bonus stuff in the back. Drawings and such. Alternate covers. I don't know. It's fun. It's cool. It was $25 for the hardcover. It feels like a little much. I would have been happy with $20. But, a theory I have that I like working with, because it's fun, is that Hellboy comics, when done right, should be read in, like, low light. I read this book in this room with a lamp lit in the far corner opposite me, and it makes the comics look like 3D. Like, the shadows work so well, and the coloring, like... The shade of red on Hellboy sometimes, depending on the light in the frame, changes, and it makes the shadows look so cool. He's very fun. You should try it.
I agree. I mean, they are typically cast in shadow. That is part of the whole art style appeal.
That's their shtick.
It is the shtick. I do love the shtick.
I don't know, 3.5 stars, 4 stars, I guess.
What about you?
Is it a Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
How did I know?
I'm almost done, actually.
Wow.
For now. Wait. I'm not going back to the Lee and Ditko stuff for a while. Although I have read some of that, and some of that shit is fire. I mean, as fire as that old shit's gonna be. Old dusty books.
Old dusty shit.
That too. Come on. There we go.
Come back.
So I read Doctor Strange and the Sorcerers, plural, Supreme, Volume 1, Out of Time. It is a spin-off of the 2015 Jason Aaron run. Basically, during the time period after the Empirical, the bad guys who love science, but they love science like it's a religion, and they're like magic bad, and then they kill all the magic. After they do that, basically, Doctor Strange gets sucked out. I should have said off. That would have been better. Gets pulled out of his time period and gets thrown into the mix with a bunch of other Sorcerer Supremes from other time periods because Merlin, the Merlin, said so. That includes the Ancient One, but he's like a boy from when he was a boy, you know, because he wasn't always old. Sir Isaac Newton. The Demon Rider, whose name I don't actually remember how to pronounce. A couple of other characters I wasn't super familiar with. And... Wiccan, but in the future, because Wiccan in the future is the Sorcerer Supreme and Doctor Strange is married, but don't ask questions. This was kind of disappointing. It's written by Robbie Thompson and it has a rotating list of artists, and I like the idea of it being like a bottle episode, just like, oh, by the way, there was that time last week when I did a bunch of shit, but it only happened over a short period of time and it doesn't matter. Like, it's a time travel adventure. Why the fuck not? I like that. I don't really know why they greenlit this, to be fair. This is, this is the first 6 issues of a 12-issue run. I am going to get the second volume because this does end on a cliffhanger. It's clearly not done. I had a feeling this was supposed to be an ongoing, and it didn't go that well. And then they canceled it instead. Mm. Because if this was announced to be a 12-issue, it would have made more sense to only collect it as a 12-issue, like, once. It just, instead of it being two books of six, it just smells funny. It's like Doctor Strange, but like Doctor spelt like DR from Mark Waid was definitely supposed to be an ongoing, and but they canceled it after five issues, so it's only one trade, and it feels out of place. The writing is fine. It's really, really exposition heavy because you have to explain all of these different characters and where they're from and what their deal is and like what basically what deal they struck with Merlin to help him with some shit. Most of the characters are written fairly interestingly. They're just too quippy. I hate that. It's like, it is supposed to be a fairly light and fun adventure book, but they're just like, I don't know, like Sir Isaac Newton has a weird suit of armor, and he has a mindful one, like the mindless ones from Dormammu, but this one has a brain, and he talks, which also explains where the fuck that came from, because I've seen that in other books that are more recent. But he's wearing like an Iron Man suit, and it's like, the fuck? One, the design looks like shit, to be fair. I just don't like it. And also, it just doesn't feel very well explained. He's like, I will make the laws of nature bend to my will. It's weird. He fights Dr. Doom. I don't get it. Some weird choices like that feel kind of strange. I do like the idea of Dr. Strange seeing the Ancient One, but before he was the Ancient One, that's pretty cool, because he's like a shithead kid. That's cool. The Demon Rider is always cool. She's extremely underused. So like, there's definitely potential in here, but I just don't really, I don't get a thematic point to it. And I don't really feel like this justified being a spinoff book. Like, this is going to be more expensive to produce as a separate series. Why wasn't this just kind of integrated into the 2015 run? Especially because the 2015 run kind of was scraping the bottom of the barrel for details. Like, it had a lot of really good ideas, and it brought back classic characters for a while, which was cool, but it didn't, there's just this big lull in the middle before they knew how long the run was going to be, so they just kind of felt like they were spinning their wheels. This could have just been in that. I don't know if it was like maybe a writing dispute, like Thompson pitched the idea and then didn't want Jason Aaron to write it. Like, I have no idea. Some of the art is pretty cool. I can't tell who drew what. Sometimes the artist switches inside the issue, but there are a few sequences where, particularly in the first two issues, Doctor Strange is getting pulled through like basically the back alleyways of space and time by Merlin, and they're having a conversation, but they're, you know, like those infinite, the, I don't know, it's a, I think it was an old art piece from something I cannot remember, but like, it's a room, but there's like staircases everywhere, and you don't know where gravity is, and like the whole,
the back rooms?
No, not quite like the back rooms, but like, it's a, I think it's based off of like an art piece, I just don't remember anything else about it, but it's like, do you remember Night at the Museum?
Yes.
The third one.
Ew.
Do you remember it?
Maybe.
There's a sequence where
they all kind of blend together.
That's fair. There's a sequence where Dagai and then Teddy Roosevelt are like wandering through like infinite hallways and staircases and stuff, and then they'll like go up to some stairs and then they're upside down. Like, it's one of those like, it's an optical illusion mind puzzle thing.
Uh-huh.
That's the only way I can describe it. I know for a fact that there's a very specific art piece, probably from like the 1400s or something. I just can't describe. But like, it's kind of like that, where they'll pop up here and then they'll disappear here, and then they're like going through different realms inside of one big splash page, which is really cool. And they're crawling over mountains that are them. So there's like eight different versions of them on two pages. It's just really cool. There's stuff like that that's really, really cool. And then a lot of the basic like fight scenes in the normal world, quote unquote, are really boring to look at. And the faces are wonky, like unappealingly wonky. So just really inconsistent. I couldn't tell if it was what particular artist I liked more, or if it was just the fact that it was all kind of rushed out the door by the vibe of it. I have no idea. But there were definitely some panels that were like, damn, that looks really cool. And then there's other panels where I'm like, can this be over already?
Mm.
So that's really weird. I don't know. You'd think for like a time traveling adventure with a bunch of other Sorcerers Supreme, it'd be more interesting, but it just wasn't really engaging. And I think that's the biggest flaw I have for it. Like, there are other Doctor Strange runs where he runs into other Sorcerers Supreme, like from other dimensions. Like right now, the Jed McKay run, he deals with other Sorcerers Supreme from like the Dark Dimension or the Purple Dimension or whatever the fuck. And that's already more engaging than this, because they're somewhat well-defined characters. This is just kind of, I don't know, it's weird. It's weird. I don't really have any other way to describe it. There's some characters that I know, some that I don't, and then they're all kind of characterized just kind of weird. Meh. I bought it at Jetpack for cover price. So
which is
15, 16 bucks. All so right. A bit steep.
Okay.
I'd say get it on a sale. If they release the two books in one book at some point, that would inevitably be cheaper. So if it's like $20 for both of them, I feel like that's at least serviceable, unless the second half is really bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wouldn't recommend picking it up on its own. And it ends on a cliffhanger. Like, it's not done yet. It isn't finished at all. So it's just, brr.
As a quick aside, I was gifted a bucket of clothes, and I finally dug through it, and I found that Funko Pop that sits behind you. It's a bobblehead Venom with his, like, dragon wings, and...
Dragon tails, dragon tails. I don't remember the rest of the song.
Anyway, it's worth, like, $50 right now. It was worth $100 a little while ago, and it's gone down in price since. But the box was destroyed, and so that's why I unboxed it, because I knew it wasn't going to be worth anything anyway.
So does that mean that you bought it, or does that mean that someone gave it to you and you didn't realize it?
It was given to me.
Weird.
And nobody realized that it was in the box of clothes.
Oof.
And I'm not going to tell the guy.
That's probably a good idea. Did you get any good clothes out of it?
A couple of Carhartts.
Well, there's $400 right there.
Anywho, I read Star Wars The High Republic, Volume 1, There Is No Fear, written by
Charles Soule.
A guy.
Charles Soule, I think.
There should be credits. Why is there no credits?
Try the spine.
Why is there no credits? There it is. Written by Kevin Scott.
Damn it!
Kavan.
It's so cool how they run this whole thing. Like, it's a big writer's room of, like, 20 people, and they randomly assign each other projects. So, like, every trilogy is written by a different group of people.
Penciled by Ario Anandito, inked by Mark Morales, colored by Annalisa Leone.
Damn, it's not Jordi Belair or Mike Spicer.
Cover art by Phil Noto.
There you go.
There you go.
Philip. That's your middle name.
And now everybody can steal my bank information. Thank you.
You're welcome. His first pet was named Chuck. His first job was at Pizza Hut.
Still is, asshole.
And his mom's maiden name is Smith.
So anyway, this takes place in the High Republic, which happened before Phantom Menace. Whoa. It really helped having this map. Like, it's a very, very simple chart of the timeline of, like, this section is these movies, this section is those movies, and then here's The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
This follows a young Padawan becoming a Jedi Knight. They go on adventures doing Jedi things, which is cool because there's not a whole lot of information about Jedi doing Jedi things, like what they're supposed to be doing as Jedis.
Yeah, you mean, but you know, back before they were an arm of the military?
Yeah.
Yeah. Back when they were, like, cool. And
back,
like,
when they were cool.
Back when they weren't gay and they wore way better drip.
I got an explanation about the Padawan rat tail getting cut off when they become a Knight, or a Knight to a Master, or whatever.
Umbilical cord.
Yes, that was great.
Wait, did I actually just call that? Wait, like, actually? I haven't read that book
yet. Oh, yes. So, yeah.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, when they move up in rank, whatever that rank is, to the next one, they use the lightsaber to cut off the rat tail.
Yeah, it's when they're, when they pass the trials, and yes, they become a knight.
Yes. Yep.
That's sick as fuck.
Yes.
No, I have this book, and I lent it to somebody, but I haven't read it yet, because this guy hasn't returned my shit.
Well, get after him, or borrow mine.
Like, I have almost the entire first... Actually, no, it's the entire first phase of the stuff. So the comics, the books, the young adult books, I have all of it. And I was like, I'm going to read this. And he's like, I'm bored. I'm like, here you go. And I need to track him down. Because that was like 2 years ago.
Colin!
It's not Colin.
I know.
Although he probably would enjoy this stuff because it's a lot more mystical shit.
And it's fun because it's a section we don't have a whole lot of stuff in. Like, Disney doesn't have to retcon a whole lot. Maybe KOTOR. Like, That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I remember when this initiative thing was like announced, yeah. And it's like, it's actually not retconning the old, not, okay, everything Old Republic never actually happened officially, but like the Old Republic era is also a thing.
Yes.
Like they're not the same thing. It's weird. The Old Republic was before this. It's fucking weird. Like,
it's just fun to have something new that hopefully doesn't suck, and I've heard that it doesn't. So it's like, it's exciting.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have something exciting for Star Wars.
It smells like fresh meat.
It smells like gay.
I mean, there is Yoda in there.
There is some gay in here. I know, I knew you'd be excited.
Wow. There is also a Yoda in there.
Actually, I don't know if it's actually gay, but whatever.
It's a little hard to tell.
I just wanted to say it to get you excited.
It's true.
This is issues 1-5, and I got it for a cover price of $16, because I found the next two on sale.
Wow.
I know. I liked it very much, 4 out of 5 stars.
Nice.
It looks great. There are so many like full page pages or even 2-page splashes that it's like, whoa. Yeah. Like every time I turned the page and saw it, I was like, wow,
yeah.
That looks good.
I just really like the aesthetic that they chose for this era. Like,
it's very soft.
It's, yeah, it's so weird, but like,
it's soft and it looks good.
Yeah, like reading, like not reading, bleh, like playing through Jedi Survivor and going to areas from this time period. It's like tan and cream and like bronze and gold. And everything looks so fucking cool. Like it looks decorative, but it's still all very functional. I don't know how they fucking did it. I think that might've been one of my concerns when I was like, oh, they're just going to do the Old Republic, but with a different name. And it's like, nope, it looks different and it has different politics. Fuck you. It's like, well, I guess I was wrong.
Colin say he no go to Silent Planet and I say you gay.
I agree. He is gay. Are we doing 2 or are we doing 3?
Let's do 2.
Okay. Well, my last 2 basically are 1 anyways, so.
Wow. Yeah,
that's why I was asking. I read the Doctor Strange by Donny Cates section of The Run. It's collected in a large paperback, which contains volumes 6 and 7 of the regular size paperbacks, as well as Doctor Strange Damnation, yes. the complete collection. Because they're sort of the same thing. It's confusing. I hate how these were collected. It's shit. So Doctor Strange is not the Sorcerer Supreme to start off with, for one. So he got tricked by Loki because of shenanigans to give up being the Sorcerer Supreme. That was only a few issues, but I thought it was pretty cool. It was definitely not a filler story. It just didn't actually like add up to much. It was just kind of Loki and Zelma and Doctor Strange going over like their trust issues for 5 issues, which was neat. And then Damnation starts. So basically during Secret Empire, which is where Captain America was a Nazi, actually, oopsie doopsie. At the end of that, Las Vegas gets like nuked, basically. And then Doctor Strange, because he has the massivest dick, just walks over and is like, I have all my magic now. I'm the god of magic. And just kaboom, like resurrects the entire fucking city. But because this run, well, earlier in this run, Jason Aaron introduced the idea that every magic has a cost, and Doctor Strange just massively overextended, Mephisto happened. So Mephisto owns Las Vegas, basically. So Las Vegas is resurrected, but there's a twist. There's a big hotel called Hotel Inferno, which is where Mephisto lives, I guess. And also all of the residents of Las Vegas start turning into, like, demon zombies, because reasons. The Avengers are there, and the Avengers get turned into Ghost Riders, or Spirits of Vengeances, because those are controlled by Mephisto, because Marvel cosmology is confusing. So Doctor Strange has to get the gang back together from the last run, so Zelma and Wong and a couple of other people, to do some shit. This run is primarily about Doctor Strange learning how to trust people, because he has trust issues and stuff. Wong gets a big gang of folks back together. He literally makes the Midnight Suns in all but name. There's Blade, Ghost Rider, Elsa Bloodstone, Mr. Knight, and maybe somebody else that he just forms. And he's like, I need you guys to help because your souls are already damned. Like, you're already shitheads. So what are you going to do? Get sent to hell twice? So they go on a rescue mission to get Doctor Strange out from a bad poker game he gets stuck in with Mephisto, but he cheats because he's an idiot, and for that he's damned, because of course he is, because Steven's an idiot. they win, because of course they do.
Well,
they defeat Mephisto with the power of friendship, literally, but like in the way that I like, where they're like, yeah, you're not alone. And then they stand there and they like lock arms and they do all the like gay shit, you know? Yeah, they do comic book.
You like it for the gay shit?
No.
Oh.
But yes. But okay. No, they do like the comic book thing where they're like, hey, retard, stop being so depressed. You have friends. And now you have god powers, by the way. Oops.
Okay.
Mephisto gets locked away in Avengers jail for reasons, because Jason Aaron really wanted him in the Avengers run at this time.
Why are you doing this, Jason? Because I want him.
Yeah, literally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you, bucko?
So the second half of this run, in the Doctor Strange by Donny Cates, like, book, is... It has the four issues of Damnation and then the four issues of Doctor Strange, which alternate from one to the other, and that's how the event is read, like, correctly. Which is good, it's collected well in that. But then, when you bring that next to the Doctor Strange Damnation, the complete collection, like, companion book, which is, like, supposed to be the complete collection, it's out of order. And there's more. And none of it was really worth it, which is really lame. So instead of it alternating between, like, Damnation, Doctor Strange issue, Damnation, Doctor Strange issue, like, it was, I would assume, published and also collected in the other book, it has all the Doctor Strange issues, all the Damnation issues, and then it has all the other shit at the end. And that was a fucking nightmare. There's a Ghost Rider issue, because Ghost Rider dies for reasons, and then he becomes the King of Hell, which was awesome, which led into a really cool run that I did enjoy. He lets Mephisto kill him. But then, because Mephisto isn't in hell and Ghost Rider is in hell, he's like, I have the biggest dick. Like, literally. So that issue is pretty cool. I liked that. There's a few Scarlet Spider issues in here because he's like Doctor Strange's guy in Las Vegas. I don't know where that connection came from, and those issues were really boring. Las Vegas is like a war zone, basically. It wasn't literally nuked, but it was metaphorically nuked. So I those were really boring. I really like Ben Reilly as a character when he's written well. It just didn't seem relevant to, like, anything. And then there's a couple of Iron Fist... That was the other character, Iron Fist. I'm dumb. There's a couple of Iron Fist issues in here as well that were just there. They didn't seem really related. So for this being, like, the complete collection, it was really unnecessary. I would have thought, I think for me, hypothetically, to print this the way that I think they should have done it, it would be Doctor Strange by Donny Cates Complete Collection. Like, that book. So it's exactly how it was before, and then they have the Ghost Rider issue is put into that run exactly where it happens. And, like, that's it. Like, you didn't need all these other ones, and I don't think, because they were only tie-in issues with runs that were already going, the Scarlet Spider and... Yes. Yes, Scarlet Spider and Iron Fist runs were just already ongoing. It wasn't like they made these issues for this. They were just, this character's in this ongoing story, so I guess we should make a tie-in issue. So they weren't needed at all. Like, it's just frustrating, because I ended up spending a lot of money trying to track this book down, and it was a fucking waste.
That sucks.
Yeah. On the whole, I really liked most of it. It was just those little tidbits at the end I really didn't like. Donny Cates has, as always, or pretty much always, he does have pretty good writing. He's a little edgy, but he reels it in when he needs to. The characters are all written really well. It builds off of the Jason Aaron run very well. It doesn't feel like he just pulled it in an entirely different direction. He felt like he kind of continued some of the ideas that Jason Aaron had already introduced, which was nice. Most of the art's really good. It does have a rotating list of artists, which I'm not a big fan of, but I get that that's just kind of how it goes. The Doctor Strange issues that take place during the Damnation event look fucking incredible. I did not notice the artist's name because I'm a horrible person, but they were bonkers good. Like, just dummy thick. Mommy. Wicked good. The Doctor Strange by Donny Cates graphic novel was $40, which I got, I think, from Jetpack. And Doctor Strange Damnation, the complete collection, which have identical covers, mind you, because they're not really supposed to be read together, apparently. I bought for like $60 off of eBay.
Used. Wait. You got Damnation for $60?
Yes, because there is just Damnation.
Because you got it's extra apparent, stuff with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, okay. Which is weird because also, like I said, when you read the Doctor Strange book, it includes Damnation alternating with the Doctor Strange issues mm-hmm. because that's mm-hmm. how it was written. So if you just buy the Damnation book, it's four fucking issues, and I don't think it's going to read well because it's missing at least half of the story.
It doesn't. I reviewed it a year or two ago, and it was awful.
It's stupid. Especially because it's a really fucking cool idea.
Yeah.
Like, it's really over the top and doesn't take itself too seriously, but, like, this was published horribly. But yeah, because it's an out-of-print book, I had to track it down and buy it on eBay used. So it's worn, and the edges all look like shit, and it was also not worth the investment at all, because I got one really cool Ghost Rider issue, and then the rest of it was shit I had already read, and kind of useless nonsense.
That sucks.
Yeah. So this total investment was like $90, which is lame, because...
Well...
I wish it was in an omnibus, because that would go very well next to the Doctor Strange by Jason Aaron omnibus, and they'd be about the same size.
I guess it's a good thing, then, that we're sponsored, in part, by our patrons, Jeff Lawrence and Caitlin.
Holy shit, we have people that give us money?
They give us money so that we can waste it on shitty books on eBay.
Immediately waste it. At least you're off of your Marvel Max kick right now.
Yeah.
For now. It'll return eventually.
Did I share you the Google Drive... document that I made tracking all the Marvel Max stuff?
Yes. One day you'll get there.
But I've got like half of it.
Two-thirds of it were never printed in trade, so good fucking luck.
The good ones are like $60 a whack, and it's four issues usually. It's like there's a Werewolf by Night one, there's a Blade one, there's three issues of... I was trying to track down the Blade
one a while ago.
Yeah, there's three issues of Black Widow.
What are the odds it just includes very graphic rape?
Pretty much, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lame.
Which is why I haven't spent stupid amounts of money on it, so.
Fair enough. If you want to help give us money so we can buy books that we regret buying, you can go to patreon.com/DimeComicBrosNetwork. We give you thanks. Every Thanksgiving, we gather around the table, we hold hands, and we say your names alphabetically.
Thank you, Lord, for patreon.com/DimeComicBrosNetwork.
It's true. Also, thank you, Lord, for our partners over at Jetpack Comics and Games in downtown Rochester, New Hampshire, where we buy a lot of our books, usually the ones that we don't regret buying, though, to be fair. They have all the shit there.
Yeah, the regrettable books come from eBay, but the non-regrettable books come from Jetpack.
Yes. So, moral of the story, always shop in person at your local comic shop and never buy things off the internet. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Tune in next week for Da News, Baby, and Immortal Thor number 5.
What? That comes out next week?
Let me double check that before I turn the microphone off, but I'm pretty sure it comes out next week. Yep. Wait, nope. In 3 days. On the 13th. So yes.
Huh.
It's this week.
That means I can't pick up Gotham, big Gargoyle of Gotham until Wednesday, because then I can get Thor as well.
Yes.
Curses.
I agree, curses. Good band.